Hallelujah. God is good. Unlike what Andre said, if God provides, even the devil has to obey. Hallelujah. Take your seats. I've got a very simple word for you this morning. But the power of the word is in its application. You know, I believe that God wants the best version of every single person here. So if you've got your Bibles, would you please turn with me to the book of Nehemiah? Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. And I'll be reading from verse 1. It says, when Sambalat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble? Burned as they are. Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what are they building? Even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back to their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half of its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sambalat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem's wall had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. For the sake of time, I just want to jump to verse 19 now. Verse 19. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. Who will fight for us? Hallelujah. Do you get the picture of what's happening here? See, the Israelites had just gone back from captivity back to Jerusalem because God told them to go back to Jerusalem. And they started rebuilding the walls. You know, in those days, to be able to be safe, you need to build your wall first. Because the stronger and thicker the walls are, it's going to prevent the enemy from coming into the city. So these guys are spending all their time building the wall. And every time they build the wall, the enemy will come and break down the wall. Every single time they build the wall, the enemy will come and break down the wall. And so for the last, it became like a cycle. Every time they build, the enemy will come break it. And so for the last time, they got up to halfway and the enemy brought the walls down again. And so they are standing looking at the rubble, the pieces, which sometimes can represent disappointment, you know, anger, because you try building something and then the enemy brings it down. And they're looking at the rubble and they say to Nehemiah, you know, we can't do this anymore. We are tired. We just can't do it anymore. You know, and I wonder how many people here this morning have gone to the point of saying, you know what, I'm tired. I can't go on anymore. You know, I've spent all my life building and everything, and then the enemy just comes in and tears it down. I can't go on anymore. I can't go on. It's too much opposition. And you know the strategy of the enemy. You know, he looks for the weak places in the wall, the Bible says. He was looking for the weak places in the wall where they can attack them. The weak places, the low points, and then that's where he goes for the attack. You know, the truth is, we are all building our lives. We are all building our lives. We may not be building cities, but we are all building our lives. I've got a diagram that I want to show you. Marimari, if you can put the diagram up for me. The brick wall. And I call it the brick wall. Okay. So this is my brick wall. So, you know, if you're building your life, oh, you need all these things. You need your job to build your life. You need relationships. You need finances, marriage, education. All these things come together to build our lives. Every single one of them come together to build our lives. But the thing is, there are times that you can get to a place in life where maybe you might have a very good bank balance, but then your relationship with your kids is just bad. Or maybe, you know, you have a really, really good job, but then that would affect your marriage. You know? And so I believe for God, what you see, the Bible says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So what God wants to see, he wants to see every area of your life here strengthened. But the thing is, it's not always the case. Because there are times that, you see, for instance, when you're strong in your faith, you know, or let's say your faith, for instance, when was the last time you actually spent quality time with God? When was the last time? And there are times that, you know, the enemy will look for the weak point so the enemy can hit something like your health. And once the enemy hits your health, that will affect your job and perhaps your relationships. Or he can decide to hit your finances, and then that can affect your faith and your marriage. And that's how the devil works. He looks for the weak areas in your life so that he would attack it. And I believe God is saying, look, I want you to be strong in every area of your life. I want you to be strong in your faith. I want you to be strong in your job. I want you to be strong in your education. Everything that with which you build your life, I want you to be strong in that area. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so maybe you are here today, you know, you may be very strong in your faith, but maybe you're having issues with your job. Or maybe you've got a great marriage, but then your health is failing. They are all connected. Once the enemy can hit one of those areas, eventually he will be able to hit everything. And I believe God wants us to strengthen every area of our lives, every single area of our life. But the question is, how do you strengthen every area? Somebody might say it's not possible, but it's possible because with God, everything is possible. So how do you get all these areas strengthened? Because that is what life is made of. How do you get all these areas strengthened? You know, as I was reading the book of Matthew, I saw something that Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'll read from verse 24. Listen to what Jesus says. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. 25. The rain came down. You know, the rain could mean like oppression or calamities in life. And it says, the rain came down, the streams rose. And anytime the stream rises, chances are you could get drowned. So maybe you're drowning in debt, you're drowning in poverty, you're drowning in so many things. It says the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall. Yet it did not fall. Why? Look at this. Because it had its foundation on the rock. Because it had its foundation on the rock. And so the question is, what are you building your life on? What are you building your life on? You know, we spend all our lives, some people build their lives on their money, on their finances, on their jobs. But what are you building your life on? Because every single thing you're building will be tested at some point. It says, then the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew. It's not a question of if, it would happen. It would happen. But you see, anytime I think or I hear the word foundation, the first thing that comes to mind is stability. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Stability is everything. Mental stability, physical stability is everything. You can't build anything on a shaky foundation. See, I come from a continent where in the past there's been lots of wars. And you see, a lot of African countries, they can't progress because there's no stability. There's no political stability. There's no financial stability. There's nothing. And so you can't build anything on that shaky ground. You'll not even find people coming to invest in that land because there's nothing stable in that land. And so nobody wants to risk it. You try going into a relationship with somebody who's not stable mentally, and then you will see. Honestly, I've been trying to be in a marriage that there's no stability. Honestly, you cannot build anything at all where the foundation is not strong. Where the foundation is not strong. And I believe God is saying he wants to make sure every area of our lives is built in such a way that it's so strong that the devil would not have any loophole to hit us. That is what God is saying this morning. Because he's got, the devil has a way. See, the funny thing is, these Israelites that we read about, they went back to Jerusalem because God told them to go back. And even God asked them to build a wall. So it was while they were doing the will of God that they had the opposition. And so there are times that you'd be perfectly in the will of God and yet you still face opposition. Because the enemy never wants to see you building anything that will bring glory to the name of God. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so God wants to see every area of our life strengthened. You know, I was speaking to a lady some time back. And I said, wow, how did you manage to raise such wonderful children? I said, Godfrey, look, it's nothing to do with me. I can do whatever I can at home, but the rest is up to God. You know, growing up, I've known children who in the house, they are like angels, but outside, they are demons, believe me. They are absolutely demons. And so, you know, you'll be at home and you think, oh, you're raising wonderful children. But outside the house, it's a completely different story. She said to me, Godfrey, you know, I just have to commit them in the hands of God because that's the only foundation upon which I can raise them. Anything else? That's wrong, you know. And I remember years ago, I used to have a friend who after school, they would go for this French class, you know, just to improve upon their French. But that particular day, the lesson was cancelled. And then we were going to watch some games back in Ghana. So I said, look, the game, you know, your class has been cancelled and you really want to go and see the game. You know, just let's go. I mean, your parents wouldn't know that you didn't go to the class. I said, no, Godfrey, I can't do that. In my house, we don't lie. I'm like, wow, this was back then, that's no reason. But you see, they've brought up their children in such a way that even when the parents are not around, the fear of God is still in them. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what God wants for us. Because you never, ever know what's going to happen. And see, when I talk about foundation, another thing that comes to mind is also, the question is, how do you even build on a firm foundation? And another point is trust. You know, you can't trust. And you can't build on anything that you can't trust. If you don't trust the foundation, you won't build on. In marriages where there's no trust, it probably wouldn't work. You know, and that's why God said, trust me, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, he says, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. And I like the way the Bible puts it, because when you're leaning against something, if it's weak, you probably fall. And so many times we lean on our understanding to make decisions. And you can't trust your understanding, especially when you're going through stuff mentally. It affects your mind. And so just imagine yourself making decisions based on what you're going through mentally. It just isn't strong enough to hold it. But God says, trust me and do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your path. He wants you to build your life not on your imagination, on your thinking, on your thought, but build your life on his word. You know, the Bible says in John that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The very word that we speak is God. And the Bible says God doesn't change. So if God doesn't change, then chances are his word too doesn't change. It's a sure foundation to build anything, to build your finances, to build your marriage, to bring your children up, to your health, everything. Hallelujah. Another point I want to talk about is communication. Communication. If you want to build on a strong foundation, it's communication. And by communication, I mean prayer. 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 You know, if I, for instance, ask you to describe your house right now, Mary Matt, can you put the picture of the house on the wall for us, please? If I ask you to describe this house right now, it's a really lovely house, isn't it? But if I asked you to describe it, how would you describe this house? A mansion, thank you. Huge, thank you. It's probably got swimming pool, jacuzzi, spacious, luxurious. You probably tell me the location. Maybe this could be Beverly Hills easily. Yeah, and you know, plus you tell me How many bedrooms probably is God? 15, you know. Anything else? Four kitchens? She must have gone there before. 8 toilets? You must have used the loo probably. But listen, you see, it's funny. You said everything, but nobody spoke about the foundation of this building. And yet it's the most important part of this building. Without the foundation, everything is useless. Because you can't spend all your life building something that good on a weak foundation. Because when the storms of life come, all of this will go. You know, in Matthew, the example Jesus gave, you have two builders, all building the same thing. And they had the same scenario, but two different outcomes. And Jesus is saying, why did that happen? Because one of them built on a strong foundation. You spend your life, we spend all our time in our life building really nice things, but then the foundation is weak. It's weak. And so can you imagine spending all that time doing this and then losing everything when the trials of life come? You have two people, two scenarios, two people. Both of them lose their job, and yet one is doing well and the other is down. Why? Because they're both on the same foundation. You've got two people, got married at the same time. One of them's got getting, they're all hit by adversity, but one of them have their marriages really working and the other is down. Why? Because they built their marriage on a firm foundation. You know I call her a crazy woman because she slaps me when she's preaching. But you know, I respect Ronke so much. If you know what that woman has been through and yet she's still standing, it's incredible. But that's how I know the foundation on which she's standing. Anybody else will crumble under that pressure. Honestly. And with Fafi, I think you mentioned that she's even looking younger and younger every day. How is that possible to go through all that and still stand? It's amazing. It really is amazing, you know. All respect to Ronke. You know, but it's because of the foundation on which she's standing. She knows whom she's believed, and she's more than persuaded that God would show up in her life. Hallelujah. You know? And so as we see this building, you know, one thing about foundation is the fact that you can't see, of the building is that you can't see the foundation. That means it's what you do in the secret place. The prayer, what you do in the secret place, that's so important. And for me, prayer is something that you do in the secret place. You know, in the scripture that we read, the Bible says, you know, when they heard Jesus, they were amazed because he didn't teach like he didn't speak like the teachers of the law. He spoke like someone who had authority. There was a difference between him and the scribes and the Pharisees. The Pharisees, don't get me wrong, they were extremely good. These guys knew the law. They could quote the law like just completely word for word. They knew about 2,000 years of history, and yet they didn't have any relationship with God. It was all religion. All religion, but Jesus had that foundation. You know, the strength of every relationship is not the length of time that you spend with the person, but the foundation that you build with the person. And that's why Jesus had so much authority, you know, so much authority. And so I want to encourage you this morning, you know, because I don't know where you are right now. You know, I don't know which area of your life the enemy is trying to hit. But as far as I'm concerned, God wants to see you prosper. He really wants. It says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And as I was reading Matthew 7:24, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, it's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Not on a rock, but on the rock. And I was thinking, what is the rock? So I looked in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Read from verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 32, I read from verse 3. It says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. How can you fail on something like this? He's faithful, he's upright, he's just. Everything that you need to build a successful life can be found in him. It can be found in him. I don't know what you're going through this morning, you know. And it's my desire that it's God's desire that every area, can we have that brick wall again, Mary Mad, please? every area of your life is so strong that the enemy doesn't get any foothold to attack you. So your health, he wants to improve your health. He wants to improve your job. He wants to improve your relationships. He wants to improve your faith. He wants to improve your marriage. He wants to improve your kids, your education, anything that you need to make your life worth living. He wants to improve it. He wants to improve it. It's your peace that he's after and your prosperity that he's after. There are times that, you know, there are times that maybe you might not be financially well off at some point. But if you get to that stage where it's taking all your peace and you can't even sleep, then you know that it's not from God. You know that it's not from God. You need to start committing those areas in your life through prayer and through trust that you think you are weak in those areas. Because the enemy would come. He would try. Hallelujah. Shall we be on our feet? Father, I thank you so much. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Trust in me with all your heart and don't lean, don't use your imagination or don't use your understanding as a foundation because it can crumble. Acknowledge me in everything you do. The Bible says, commit your ways to the Lord and you will succeed. When I think of Jubilee, I think of what God wants to do in our life. I think about what God wants to do in our finances. I think about what God wants to do in our faith. I think about what God wants to do with our jobs, with our marriages, with our relationships, with our children. With God, quality is the way of life. And that's what he wants you to experience. That's what he wants you to experience. Sometimes I believe so many of us are living below the way and the standard that God wants us to live. Now you had the Israelite army facing Goliath, but they were afraid of Goliath. And you had David on another side. They both were facing Goliath, but the army ran away. David was the only one who stood firm. Why? Because it was the foundation on which he was standing. He was the only one there who had the greatest awareness of the presence of God. And everyone else was afraid. You can't build anything meaningful unless it's on a firm foundation. There's only one rock that I know, and that is the rock of ages. He was there yesterday, he's there today, and he will be there tomorrow. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never ever pass away. And so everything else that you build on will pass away. It's only the word of God that remains firm. Father, I lift every single person here into your hands, oh God. Lord, I don't know the kind of opposition they are facing right now, whether it's in the area of their jobs, or it's in the area of their finances, or even in the area of their marriage, or their health, or Father, with their children. Father, you know it. There are some needs, oh Lord, that are not spoken, but you know it. We lift every single area up before you today, God. And Father, we cover every loophole with the precious blood of Jesus, God. I pray, Lord, for strength for every single person here, God. Strength, oh God, strength. That like the Jews, Lord, they would not be discouraged and look down at the rubble in anger or disappointment. But Lord, you will strengthen them that they'll be able to build again, oh God, and have a great life. I thank you so much, Father. I thank you for revealing your mind to us this morning and your heart to us, God. I pray that, Father, this word that you brought unto your children today, they'll put it in practice to see the power, oh God, that is behind it. I give you all the glory, Father, for the work you've done this morning in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.